And he says, always, I love those old hymns. That was beautiful. If you turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, if you'll stand when you get that, please. Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it's a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him and said, Lord, it is you. Command me to come to you on the water. So he said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. Cried out, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, well, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words today. And I just pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to receive them. And Father, that your message would permeate hearts, that you are the one that gets in the boat with us. And you are the one that takes care of us. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit can work this morning among hearts that are open to receive your message. And that we would only serve and glorify you. Be with me as I deliver it to serve you in Christ's name. Amen. Why did you doubt? Is what we just read. Jesus said to Peter. As I prayed in my prayer, I was thinking about that. We see God in all of his creation. He reminds us of who he is. If you look into the creation for that, how many people go about and just look at the creation and think that it just happened, it was a blip, which is amazing to me. But if you look at God's creation and honestly see the order of it and how he put it together, the Bible says there should be no doubt in your mind that at least there is a God that existed to put that together. And God himself says in his word, if you don't believe that, you're a fool. That's what he says. But besides that, we have the word of God that we study every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you study at home. It is a wonderful message. It is a love letter. I've heard it called, and that's a beautiful thing that is sent to us by God to show us and teach us of who he is. Then I want you to think of something else. The Bible talks of witnesses, this mighty cloud of witnesses that they talked about in Jesus' day. But we have that also. When you sit there in your seats right now, think of all your loved ones and people you've known that have gone on to be with the Lord that have had such an impact on your life and such a mighty witness that they were, that has to give you confidence if you think about it and increase your faith to see and know how they live their life, right? And God gives us that. This morning, this week as I was preparing this, this sermon is one that we all relate to. We relate to all of them, but in this we really relate to. And I was thinking about it, and me especially, because I look out at this congregation, and Brother Carroll knows what I'm talking about. I get phone calls from each of you. I get texts from each of you. I talk to each of you. And pastors know what's going on with everybody in here a lot more than what all of you do. We have people on the prayer list, but there are other things that I know about and that I pray about for you. So as we see what's going on here, I mentioned last Sunday the disciples had just come back from this wonderful trip that Jesus sent them on. And when Jesus sends us on a trip, he equips us to do what he sends us to do, right? And they had seen miraculous things. They had cast out demons. Well, you'd have to be careful not to get too popped up in yourself, wouldn't you? To think, look what I did. Well, they knew better. It was in Jesus' name. And so they had cast out demons. They had healed people in Jesus' name. Some places had rejected. Others had received him. He told them what to do on that. But they had come back excited. Remember, we studied that? And all the things that they had seen happening and going on. And then they witnessed the feeding of the 5,000. Men, 10,000 probably strong. They witnessed the feeding of that and Jesus miraculously doing that. So to say that they were on a mountain high would be an understatement, I think. They were the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And every day with Jesus is more and more, right? Isn't that an old hymn that we sing? Every day with Jesus. So we see that in this word that they were propped up with that, and no telling how they were feeling at the end of the feeding of what they were seeing of Jesus. But Mark tells us they still didn't get it, like a lot of people don't. They still didn't get who he really was and what he had come to do. Because Jesus goes on to tell us here, he tells us here, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. Mark and Luke give us a little more emphasis into that. What was going on is the crowds had heard so much about Jesus, and they were expecting their Messiah, and so a lot of people were talking about him being the Messiah, the sent one, but they didn't know his real mission here. They were wanting to make him king, right? That's what they wanted in their heart, and Jesus knew this. Now, if they had made Jesus king and Jesus had stayed there and he had permitted that, the disciples would have gone along, at this moment, would have gone along with that also. How do we know that? Remember what one of the mothers requested. When you come into your kingdom, they didn't fully understand the total kingdom at the time. They were thinking of an earthly kingdom. Jesus on his throne is a king. Well, I want my sons to be set up there close to you on the right hand. So at this time, we can pretty much say that they would have gone along with that also. Jesus was riding high. They had healed people in his name. He just fed the 5,000. And Jesus knew in their heart the crowd wanted to make him king. But that's not his mission. So the Bible says immediately he got the disciples away from that. And immediately he dispersed the crowd. And immediately the Bible says he went to a place by himself. Bible tells us afterward, he immediately went away from them. Apart. Apart to pray, my Bible says. The word apart here has more reason, more meaning than just what we think, just to separate. The word apart here means to separate with a purpose. Jesus just didn't go to pray. And we can assume, and we know that every time he prayed, he just didn't go to pray to check it off. Well, I got to do my prayer this morning. That's good. That's great, right? But if we go with that attitude, that's the wrong attitude. To be set apart means to go to the Father with a purpose. So Jesus just didn't send the disciples off to get them away from him so he could go do his routine thing. No, he went up on that mountain with a purpose. The Bible says he was alone there. It was just him and his Father. Verse 24 starts like this. The boat was now. There's a lot of meaning in that. It means that while Jesus was up on the mountain praying, something was happening in the boat. It'd be like in a movie picture if you were showing Jesus and all of a sudden it cut in the movie screen and it went to the boat. And there it is. Pay attention to that. The boat was now in what? In a certain circumstance. While Jesus was there, the boat, something was happening to here, and it was happening to somebody that he loved in the boat. Don't miss that. It's intended to draw attention to the fact that Jesus was not present at that time with his disciples. You remember the first time they were in a storm? Think back to that. Where was Jesus? He was in the boat with them. Now, he was up in the front asleep, and this storm came up. Okay, a bad storm where they thought they were going to die. He was in the boat with them, and what happened to them? They still were afraid, right? He was in the boat with them. Now he's not with them in this boat, and he's up on the mountain. I don't know, but do you think some one of them might have turned to the other and said, okay, you know what happened the last time we got in a boat like this together? Jesus isn't with us this time. Surely nothing will happen, right? Yeah. Well, here they go in the boat on a mountain high. And they're going to the other side. And they're going to wait on Jesus. And they're tired. And Jesus had promised them rest. And he had promised them a little vacation is what he had said. Let's go get some rest before the feeding of the 5,000. But now they were in the boat. And they seemed to be alone. Now when we get into this, every one of us in here, if we're old enough, have had a little of this already. Some of you have had a lot of this already. You ever been in that boat in a storm? Yes. Ever seemed like you were alone in the middle of the sea? The Bible says, we're going to see here, they were in the middle. They were a good ways away from shore. And they didn't have an Evinrude 25. They were rowing, by the way. And the Bible says they began to be tossed by the waves and struggling against a mighty wind. You see, sometimes when we read this, people that don't really know and don't really get into the technical things of it, and even other people, and even Christians in life, they say, well, Jesus sent them off in this boat. If he sent them off in the boat, shouldn't it be smooth sailing? Shouldn't everything be fine if Jesus sent them off in the boat? And then the Bible says all of a sudden this storm comes up. It wasn't a normal storm. It was almost like we see a hurricane-force wind. The Bible says the tumultuous wind, that's what it means. They were struggling against the mighty wind. These experienced fishermen were struggling to row this boat. In other words, it came to a point where they couldn't row it anymore. Don't miss the correlation here of us in life. That's what is meant by this. Us in life in the boat of life and in storms and rowing and struggling in it. How could that have happened? Just a few hours before, they were serving tables at the Heavenly Hideaway restaurant. Okay? Just a few hours before, they were serving to all these people, and Jesus had done this miraculous thing, and people were happy, and people were being healed, and Jesus was feeding, and the people were talking about making him king, and it was probably a beautiful day, and they were sitting on the beautiful grass, it says, and everything was fine. And then Jesus says, y'all get in this boat, and I'm sure he said y'all. He said, y'all get in this boat, and you go on across, and I'll see you on the other side. And then all of a sudden, boom, there's the storm. You ever been there? Everything in life's going great. Everything's going fine. Then all of a sudden, there's the storm. And it's not just a little storm. The Bible, if you look at the wording here, the Bible says they struggled so much, they gave up. It became a hopeless situation. You've seen in the movies where in these boats where they're rowing and it comes to that point and they just let the oars just go out of the boat and the oars are just floating on the water. We get that picture. Because the Bible says these experienced fishermen couldn't row anymore. They weren't gaining any ground. They were there in that storm. And Jesus wasn't in the boat. You think they had any questions? You think they looked at each other? Think they looked at Peter? Peter, you're the boisterous one. What are we going to do now? You ever been there? Now they were battling for their lives, and where was Jesus? You know, Satan was doing all that he could to make the storm worse and more unbearable. As a matter of fact, some theologians go back and look at the wordings, and even in the first time storm they were in, and they find the wording storm there to actually think and say that that was going on there. Mark tells us even through the miracles and the signs, even the feeding of the 5,000, that the apostles' hearts still did not permit a total faith in all of life. In other words, they really didn't understand completely yet. Just like us when we're first saved, or just like other people that aren't saved, they don't fully understand what's going on. So Jesus is on the mountain. He's praying. Did he even know they were in a dangerous situation? Well, Yeah, you know he did. As a matter of fact, we see that he sent them there. We see that he sent them into this situation. Verse 22 says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get in the boat and go before him. Did he know what was going to happen? Yes. Jonah, remember Jonah and his storm? Jonah's storm came because he was outside of the will of God. That storm was used to bring him back and to bring him back in line, right? Well, this storm is because they were in the will of God. That's what we don't understand sometimes. If you're honest with me, you tell me that too. Sometimes we don't understand. We're living in the will of God. We're doing everything we think the Lord Jesus wants us to do. And bam, there comes a storm. And it's disheartening. It is. Warren Wiersbe says, they were safer in this storm in God's will than they were on the land with those crowds that are out of God's will. Let's say it one more time. He says they were safer in that storm in God's will than with the crowds that were out of God's will. We must never judge our security on the basis of circumstances alone. And that's human nature. In one storm, Jesus was in the boat with them, and they still panicked. In this storm, he's not in the boat, but it's in order to test them. Jesus said in John 16:33, in the world we will have tribulation. That's probably not a verse we write down and keep on our refrigerator, is it? Because we don't want to think about that. But it's something we need to be reminded of. It's something we need to accept if we're going to be able to live in this life. In this world, we are going to have tribulation. That's not a good, very good recruiting motto, is it? When we're out witnessing. It's really not, but it's the truth. If he brings us into a storm, then he can care for us. Another point is this. The Bible says while the disciples were struggling hopelessly in the storm, Jesus was what? He was alone praying. Praying for things that we cannot see. If Jesus was in the next room from you praying, would that make you feel better? Would that make you feel good? Wouldn't it? Oh, yes. It would me. Well, the Bible tells us that's exactly what he's doing. James 4:14-15 says this, whereas you do not know what's going to happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for just a little bitty time, and then it vanishes away. Jesus said, instead you ought to say this, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and do that. We all plan our lives. And let's be honest, many times we don't ask the Lord what he wants us to do. And so we start down a path, and then we get down a path, and we say, okay, Lord, I'm down this path. Now direct me. And he wanted us over here. Now, he can redirect here, but isn't it good if we start out asking the Lord where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do, how he wants us to be, and we strain at it. Mark says that Jesus saw them straining and rowing. Did he know what was going on? Yes, from the mountain, he did. 100% man, but never forget he's 100% God. He knew exactly what they were doing in that boat. And he knew that they were straining at it. He knew they were struggling at it. And he knew they had reached a point of hopelessness. I'm going to show you in a minute why I'm saying that. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm fine with the Lord testing me. I am. Because I've learned it in his word. And I've learned that's good for me. But I don't like the feeling of hopelessness. Anybody here like that? I pray, Lord, why you let me go that far? Because does that sound like I don't have faith? Does that, whatever? We don't like being in that position, but that's exactly the position he allowed them to get in. He saw the strength. He knows our tomorrow, and he knows what we go through today, each and every one of them. So what was he praying for while the disciples struggled? Was he just doing his general prayer that he always prayed to his Father in heaven? Romans 8:34 says, "He who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." He was praying for them, and he was praying that their faith would not fail. You see, these were the guys that were going to be the foundation of the church under him. Their faith had to be in him totally, and he was bringing them to that point. And in human nature, it took the storms to get them to that point. Another point is we see that he let them struggle for quite a while and then he came to them. I'm also fine with trials and struggles, but Lord, just let it be short, right? Come on. I'm older now. I'm more mature, right? Lord, surely it don't take that long. No, just let them be quick. Not all the way it is it? He let them struggle for quite a while. Many times in Scripture, we see the saints struggle to the point of despair, but Jesus always comes. He always comes. He came in the early hours of the morning, what? Walking on the water. Look at this. He was walking on the very thing that threatened them. It wasn't by accident, walking on the water. He could have flown. He could have come in another way. What was he doing? It was a storm. It was the water. He walked on the very thing that was threatening them in their life. And that's what he does for me and you. The very thing that has you, that storm that's in your life, Jesus can walk all over it. All over it. He's over it. He's above it. We all struggle in turbulent seas of life, and the disciples were going to learn that it's not faith in the miracles, it's faith in the one who does the miracles. Yeah. You see, they had seen all of his miracles. Understand this. Boy, I don't know how we would be if we'd seen all Jesus' miracles personally. They had seen them, but you can't start having faith in the miracles. You have to have faith in him, the one that does the miracles. Mark says that Jesus made out like when he came to him, he made out like he was going to walk by him. If you study in Mark, you read that. That's strange, isn't it? Why would he do that? Was he playing with him a little bit in the storm? No. Why did he make out like he was going to walk by him? Because he knew they weren't looking for him. Get that point? Fear had come in so much. Despair had come in so much. Hopelessness had come in so much, they had stopped worrying and looking for Jesus. So he was testing them, see if he could just walk right by him. And when he did come out walking, what was it? It wasn't, there he is. No. Old tradition came back in. Old fears came back in. They said, it's got to be a ghost. Let me tell you a good thing about where Jesus would get us. Much later on, after he had risen, and he was on the shore cooking for him, and Peter saw him. Peter didn't think it was a ghost then, did he? No, he knew who it was. And he dove off the boat and swam to him. My version says Jesus said to him, "Be of good cheer." It's also in others, "Be of good courage." It says that then Jesus said, in the midst of the storm, as he was trampling on it. Don't miss it. Pay attention. I know. Stay with me. As he's trampling on the storm and he's coming to him, and they think he's a ghost, Jesus says, "Fear not." Now the Bible translates it, "It is I." But my study Bible and others say that it's a good translation, but what he actually said was, "I am. Fear not, I am." Where did we get that from? Go back. You remember it from Moses, right? Moses said, "Who am I going to tell these people when I go and tell them who you are?" He says, "You tell them I am that has sent you." What's Jesus saying? I had somebody at the prison one time down in Angola tell me Jesus never said in the Bible that he was God. Okay? What did he just say? He's telling them here, "Fear not, I am." I don't know how any plainer he could get. That's what he says to us in these storms. That's what he says to me and you in the boat. He declares himself of who he is, the Almighty God, I am. Fear not, he says. Fear can blind our eyes to the presence of the Lord. It takes faith to see him. So what was Jesus' purpose in the whole series of these events? And the whole thing, why did he let them get in the boat? And why did he let them go out to that? What's his purpose in our lives to doing things like that? These trials are to help his children grow in faith, and we must learn to trust in him in all times. I've heard it said, a faith that's not tested is not any faith at all. 1 Peter 6-7, I've been quoting this lately, but it goes great right here too. It says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. There is a reason in being the boat. No, God doesn't put every trial upon you, but he can use those when you're in them for good. Peter's request is this too. It's not, Lord, if it is you. It's actually translated, Lord, I know it's you. This is what he's saying. Lord, I know it's you. If you give the command, I can walk on the water to you. That's what they say it actually means. It's faith now. Lord, I know it's you. All you have to do is command me, and I can walk on the water to you. Will you give it? And the Lord said, come. And the Bible says, oh, Peter, I like Peter. He may be one of the first ones, the Lord blessed me, that I look up in heaven, because he's a lot like me. He seems to make a lot of mistakes. He seemed to have said things he shouldn't have said. He's just Peter, right? But he's the one, bless his heart, that wanted to get out and had the faith and wanted to go to Jesus. It's till he steps out, and the Bible says, because he had his eyes on Jesus, he actually took some steps on the water. Now get this, in the storm. The Lord didn't say, okay, hold on, Peter. I'm gonna let you walk, but I got to prepare some stuff here. I'm going to make this storm cease, and then you walk to me. That's not what it says, is it? Uh-uh. It says, in the storm, Peter's faith, his eyes on Jesus, said, you come to me, and you walk to water on me. And the Bible teaches a lesson, and you know it well. When he got out of the boat and he started walking, that those hurricane force winds were still blowing. You've seen it on TV. You've seen the Weather Channel, right? You've seen them out there struggling against the wind. The funniest thing I've seen is when they didn't really have a wind much, and they still, you know, somebody walked behind them with an umbrella, and this guy was, you know, anyway. But this wasn't fake. And the Bible says Peter got to looking at the winds around him and the world around him and the struggle around him and the fear around him and the things that come up in life and the things that Satan wants us to pay attention to. You see, Satan wanted Peter to look at those things to take his eyes off of Jesus. And it says he began to sink. Now here's another wonderful thing about our Lord. Bible said it didn't say that he began to drown. It didn't say that the Lord let him go completely under, because Peter had sense enough to cry out as soon as he began to sink, Lord, save me. He still had faith. He still looked to the Lord, and it says immediately Jesus reached down and grabbed him and pulled him back up, didn't he? Then he said, together they went and got in that boat that was in that storm. Then the wind ceased. The wind ceased. Both times Jesus was with them in a storm, they were in a storm. But in the end, here's the promise. One day, the wind ceases. The storm's going to be over. It may be when I'm in heaven, that's okay, but the storm's going to be over. Amen. That's a promise from the Lord. Jesus said to him, Peter, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? It's all about faith and trust in Jesus. Notice something else, too. It leads to worship. It led to worship. When they were in the storm and Jesus came to them, and Peter, they all saw what happened to Peter. They saw it. Can you imagine when he first started walking? John elbowed somebody. I said, look at that. He's walking on water. And then he began to sink. And then when Jesus got in the boat and the wind ceased and they more fully realized who he was, it turned to worship. If there's little worship from you to Jesus, there just might be a faith and trust issue. If there's a faith and trust issue, how in the world can you make it through the storms of life? Hebrews tells us that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. Whatever he says before us, he will finish and he will see us through. If he's the author and he's the finisher of our faith, it means he's the author of everything that goes on in our life. He does not give evil upon you, but he is the author of it, and he is the finisher of it, which means he's going to bring you through if you are his child. Why did you doubt? He said. He is the one that parted the water for the children of Israel. He is the one that supplied the water from the rock for the children of Israel. He is the one that changed the water into wine, and he's the one that walks on the waters of all the problems of your and our lives. The disciples would watch as they crossed over into the land of Gennesaret, right over this, as many would touch the hem of his garment, and many, many were healed, it says. To touch Jesus in that special way. But the amazing thing is he had already touched them and he's already touched us. We're covered by his shed blood. We're indwelled by his spirit. And the Bible says we're seated already in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Amen. Already. In the storms in life, we don't have to really wait for Jesus to walk on the water and come get in the boat with us. We have the Holy Spirit within us. He's already with us in everything. He's praying for you and he's praying for me now. He prays way ahead of the situations that come into our life. He prays for our faith. He prays for us. He prays to his heavenly Father. He's already prepared it ahead of time for us. When we get in the boat and we get in the rough seas, he's already been there and he's already prepared it. He already knows the outcome. He said, Peter, why did you doubt? Don't doubt that you're going to be in the seas. That's what really gets us sometimes. We're going to have trials and tribulations. Understand that. There are going to be seas, but never doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you and is with me, and the outcome one day is going to be smooth sailing. Amen. Oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And then he got in the boat and the wind ceased. So do you have faith unto salvation? Do you have faith in the storms? And do you have faith to do what he asked you to do? I like that old hymn. Have faith in God. He's on his throne. Have faith in God. He watches over his own. He will not fail. He must prevail, right? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. It's what Jesus is saying. I'm with you in the storms, he says. They're going to be there. And I can make them for a reason, he says. But don't doubt. Don't doubt. We're going to have the Lord's Supper. And when we partake of the Lord's Supper, what we're saying to him, prepare yourself for this, what we're saying to the Lord Jesus Christ is, Lord, I don't doubt. I'm showing that I believe in you, that I believe in your shed blood of what you did for me. When I take of that bread and when I take of that cup, I'm saying I come into the covenant that you've given me. I agree. I amen with you. I want to live for you. I am serving you. So when we partake of this, clear your hearts. If there's something in your heart right now, ask forgiveness for it. This is a very serious time. And Paul talked about this as the church comes, and he's taught about this, that there were some that passed away because they were partaking of the Lord's Supper in a very serious, bad way. But what we're saying is, Lord, I believe that you're with me in the storms, and I do not doubt. I believe in you
that the blood shed for me, when I partake of that cup, do this in remembrance of me, he said. He says, I'm giving you a new covenant, and it's in my blood. And if it's in my blood, there's nothing on this earth that can touch you. You belong to me. Would the deacons come, please?